May I just say, friends, before we commence, two of our families here have lost a loved one since we last met, Mrs. Grace Clark, and of course, our friends at Fenstanton have suffered the loss of Sue Cooper. May the Lord cause us to consider, how stands the case, my soul, with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear. Our first hymn is number 617, The New Man and the Old by no means can agree, the one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. Hymn 617.
Thank you. of God, let us read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and to begin to read at verse 16, and then also we'll read the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Firstly, Acts 17, from verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? Thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though we needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far, every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others. but with them. Now turn to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the second epistle. We'll read chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that which that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that means for all his people, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. The sense there, of course, Paul did not know the Lord Jesus face to face as he lived here, but it's the sense he knew him after the flesh in the report he had heard of him. And he had the same attitude and spirit to Emmanuel as the Jews generally did, away with him. But he knew him no more after the flesh, but he knew him as a new man in Christ, but him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, and that also means not receive the opinions of other men, for he knew who had redeemed him. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is the sense of the apostle. He knew him by faith, and adored and worshipped him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. O great and blessed eternal God, whose name is holy, that we bow before thy holy majesty now and plead the wonders of thy grace. We plead that forgiveness that is with thee and must be feared. And do pray that as we meet around thy word, that thou wilt meet with us and break to us the bread of life. Oh, then ask how we've come to the house of God this morning, and every heart is known unto thee. The minister's heart is known unto thee. And Lord, if we understand anything aright, have to solemnly say, Father, I've sinned and come short. Be merciful unto me. And so we must pray the prayer of the publican once again. Oh Lord, we believe it's a prayer that will never wear out among the children of God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But show unto us thy salvation. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. And build there the walls of Jerusalem. We want the gospel. Need the gospel. Oh, we do need the Holy Ghost in the gospel. Beg the Holy Ghost may be here today. Oh, that blessed, holy, eternal Spirit of truth. We honestly confess our sins. Often we've grieved thee, grieved Emmanuel. In grieving Emmanuel, we've grieved thee. Oh, we do not deserve any help from thee. Any revealings of the love of Christ. But oh, thou blessed Spirit, do come. Reveal the things of God. Make to us salvation and witness with the blood. Ah, Lord, we indeed would pray again in verse to the blessed Spirit. Show us that loving man that rules the courts of bliss, the Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the eternal Prince of Peace. We need thee, Lord. We're dying people, so weak, so sinful, empty by nature. We need our earthen vessel to be filled and refilled and refilled. So much leaks out, but our grace cannot be lost. Eternal life is never lost in thy people. Pray to know that life everlasting, Lord, enables us to look to thee alone, trust in thee, repent of our sins, hate our own lives also, and reverence thee and desire the knowledge of thee. And that a grace enables us to so take up our cross daily. We wish we took it up more fully, Lord. I have to confess. The minister has to confess. I believe the deacon has to confess too. And godly friends have to confess how short we come in our profession. We hate ourselves for this, but would value thee, long to love thee more. I believe we can say with Gadsby, oh, that my soul could love and praise thee more. Thy beauty trace, thy majesty adore, live near thy heart, upon thy bosom lean, obey thy voice, and all thy will esteem. We plead life. Ah, we plead living waters. We plead the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Ah, through thy shed blood. Ah, through thy great sacrifice of sin. Oh, we plead the name of the Lord, the Word of God. Bless us now, Lord, than us, the heartache and the troubles among us, the weariness, the sicknesses, the tremblings, the fears, the guiltiness, the sinnership. Let us hear the groaning of prisoners among us. Let us see afar off the contrite heart. And we plead those promises to replenish every longing soul, satiate the weary soul. Beg the heavens may drop down fatness and the skies pour down righteousness today. We need in our lives, we do, Lord, be our future. Often afraid of the future, wondering where the scene will end. Will we endure? Will we get to heaven? Will we be swept away as a counterfeit at last? Many solemn thoughts, all our sins, our daily sins. Lord, while in mercy be kept from living outwardly in sin hour by hour, yet we know the plague within. And often our emptiness and poverty and foolishness is ever with us. Our idolatry is ever with us. Ah, but we do pray that we might cleave to thee by faith, pleading what thou hast done, finished at Calvary, and what thou hast made known to us personally. Oh, may we not lose our jewels. Oh, keep us tender. No man can really ever lose his jewels really, but we lose sight of them. We lose the consolation. We lose the comfort. We lose the light of thy countenance. But we can't really lose some longing after thy name. Even when we're wandering from the Lord, still those cries for mercy and help. Now bless us, Lord, all friends, young and old, the dear children, little ones in arms, who affectionately bear them to thee. May they be thine. When they make up thy jewels, all may parents wrestle for them in this global modern age. Lord, protect them. May they be thine. Bring them in due time to thy blessed feet. And the young men and young women, give wisdom and grace and godly fear. Convince them of their sins and where they are by nature. And all friends of whatever age, help in daily business and the domestic scene, the married and the unmarried. Perhaps all the earthly scene of our life in providence, may we be helped to plead the promise that thou wilt supply every need, according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pray for the brethren here, be gracious to them. Let thy work appear. Ah, Lord, thou knowest all about the people here. The one shall be taken and the other left to work a mighty work of grace. Oh, that not one might be left out. Lord, the work is the work of God. So we do plead for that work to appear. As our dear friend in all his responsibilities and his dear fellow brother also over at Ethelingborough, help him there and bless him. Reading of the sermon, bless the brethren there, especially our dear friend in his weakness. Do grant, Lord, those healing mercies to him, and to take his place in Zion, there and elsewhere. Grant him the healing touch, body and soul, we pray. And remember the brethren at home also. Grant us thy spirit there, and help thy dear servant engage there this day. We friends at Fenstanton, we affectionately bear them to thee. Bless them, Lord. Comfort them. Lord, a hard thing for parents to see their offspring gathered away from the earth. May they be comforted in the blessed hope that she was one of thine. And made testimony of it. A great favour. Her sorrow is ended. Her mourning is ended. Victory is given and death is passed safely. And we remain. We've got to face death ourselves, and we can't alone. We must be found in thee. Other bereaved friends also, we pray that thou bless them and comfort them. Oh, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now before we close, we thank thee for so many tender, kind mercies. What a wonderful God thou hast been in providence and in grace. Oh, we've got such wicked hearts. Oh, we're not thankful like we should be. Oh, we soon fret, soon full of unbelief, soon ready to turn back. Lord, save us. We do confess honestly before thee our complete ruin, but would plead the Lamb of God, the living friend, the sinner's hiding place, even Jesus, thy lovely self, Lord. Oh, may thy name as ointment poured forth here today. Grant something for our never dying soul. We want to be thankful. We thank thee for the harvest and the seasons and every blessing daily received. But the gospel and open Bible, we do pray that our liberty to continue to worship might be maintained, though we realise the solemnity of the situation, Lord. Satan is speaking in the land. Our rulers are men of reprobate mind. And, Lord, a limited persecution is already set up. And publicly through the news media, government propaganda. So believers are being vilified in every aspect of life. God be merciful to us, and especially our young friends, our dear children, our grandchildren. Lord, mercy. Visit them, call them. But now we must look to thee. Friends unable to gather, maybe sick or away, we pray for them. And those perhaps who know of the service and haven't a mind to come, see no beauty in Emmanuel, don't want to know the sinner's friend, because they're living in carnal security and believing a lie. We beg, Lord, that thou art so blow upon their souls, and those loved ones who pray for them and wrestle for them and agonize over them. Oh, may the day come when they shall be in want and flee unto thee. But now we must turn to thy word, and we ask for help. The Holy Ghost be given to us. The Lord, thou be our strength and our divine help. So could there be that which no man create, due power and unction in the word, a sweet savour of Christ in the ministry, that peculiar anointing and unction that no man can create, Lord, that may flow freely pulpit and pew we beg, so pardon our mighty sins, receive us graciously. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 914. Beneath the sacred throne of God, I saw a river rise. The streams were peace and pardoning blood, descending from the skies. Hymn 914.
Complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and verses 30 and 31. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. We may also make a few remarks in the other chapter we read, the Lord helping if there is time, one or two verses there. The apostle here was moved in his spirit as he saw the people perishing in their idolatry. And being ordained of God and anointed by the Holy Ghost, oh, he, in the everlasting strength that God gave him, stood before the sons of men and told them plainly of the truth, as they had superstitiously worshipped an unknown God, for they had many gods, the pagans, many gods. And so he spoke to them of Jesus in the resurrection, and some mocked. As we read, as we read, but he told them very plainly concerning the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the eternity of God. Obviously there were many more words he spoke. If we just be appraised a little of what he spoke. And so he now tells them that the times of this ignorant God winked at. That is, that the darkness that covered the earth, God had passed over, given no grace, and men perished in their rebellion. The world was not, of course, populated so much as it is now, but we could say millions in those days perished in gross darkness. Read Romans 1 and you'll see they've no excuse. The creation declares the glory of God. But now the time of grace had come to the nations of the earth, and the promise unto Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is now being fulfilled, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And again the nations be blessed. And so now is the time of the outpouring of the Spirit upon the Jews. And now with the apostles' ministry, the Gentiles also. And so he says, at the end, the times of this ignorance God winked at. So he limited the divine mercy to a special seed, which is typical of the election of grace. The Jewish nation and people are typical. They're a type of election and grace. Of course, many of them are wicked men and still are. But they're a type. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The everywhere, of course, means among all nations. Every nation, kindred, tribe will be gathered in under the power of the gospel. And so he says that and commandeth all men everywhere to repent, I give unto them eternal life. The commandment that the apostle here mentions is more this. The emphasis is, he gives life. The law is for us to keep. Commandments of the law must be fulfilled or we're cursed forever. An obligation to keep it. Every holy commandment, and from the heart also. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. But by the power of the Holy Ghost in the gospel ministry, men are divinely commanded with the power of the word, for he is the resurrection, the life. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Has that holy commandment been received into your heart? Do you feel your need of God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's grace? There is a reason why the apostle so spoke in this way, as he often did among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Because We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we read in the other chapter, and give an account of our lives. What can we say? What can we say in that day, when the books are open and every thought is revealed, every secret imagination is revealed, every word? What you have done in secret and hidden away from the sons of men will be revealed in that day when those books are open. My friends, when the sheep are gathered, you know how they rejoice as they see him whom their soul loveth and long to love here below, because the word came with divine commandment into their soul. God commands the blessing to his people. He puts forth the breath of his everlasting love and breathes that life by the Holy Ghost as the Spirit blows upon the souls of the sons of men, and has a most blessed and gracious effect over the years. They're brought in repentance to the feet of him who they so much need, and are brought, my friends, in that way of life to lean hard, wait upon Christ, because by the holy commandment of life in their soul, they solemnly realize the extent of their sinnership, their complete and absolute ruin, and they mourn in their houses apart for their indwelling sin. They mourn over their unprofitable lives. They're grief-struck at themselves. But oh, they can only plead him in whom they now believe. My dear friends, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I do not mean by the training of good, godly parents, praying parents or grandparents, but do you believe by the Holy Ghost? Do you long to be found in him? Do you know communion into your soul of his love and mercy, a word in season, a word of reconciliation, the flowings of love into your precious, needy soul? Does your soul go after him in its leanness, in its poverty, in its felt weakness? So the apostle tells us, doesn't he? And because, in the times that ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because there's a day. A day, a blessed day. The ministry of years ago, when I sat under at Maidstone, there was so much warning about eternity. So much setting forth the complete ruin of man's soul. The setting forth of the glories of Emmanuel. That ministry has passed away now. Forgotten and somewhat despised in the modern generation, but that we must leave. I shall give an account of my preaching before you today. You give an account of your gathering here today. And we daren't judge each other. I'm not the judge of any man. Judge not lest ye be judged, but by their fruits ye shall know them. Oh, to be ready for the kingdom of God. We should give an account of ourselves, not another man. Man in his fallen nature, being proud, he always wants to make judgments. It's that striving to be as God, isn't it? We should give an account of ourselves and not another. Notice even as Peter said, what shall this man do? Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so he says, because he hath appointed a day in the which you would judge the world in righteousness. Now this means an absolute, perfect, holy judgment. There'll be no miscarriages of justice in that tremendous day, when the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And the great mercy is that in righteousness, and his righteousness as your righteousness, he will receive you who long to know him and win him. God knows the secrets of your life in the night watches and in the daytime, alone or in company, whether there is a real mourning in your soul, a groaning after the Lord Jesus to bless you and forgive the fresh sins, oh, the fresh departures, the hardness of the human heart, your own hardness of heart, whether there's cries for him to return, cries for him to appear. Read your aching heart in your heavy trials. He hears your cries for his all-sufficient grace, him to be with you. Now, you know the secrets of your life. There's another book, of course, that is open, Blessed Be God. I may have preached from it here somewhere ago, which is the Book of Life, and there are names written there. And, you know, that people whose names are written there, in their life, they still came short. Oh, they could not live that completely holy life that was required of men. And they longed to do it themselves, but they couldn't do it. But they were taught and led by the Holy Ghost to believe in the Lord and trust in him alone. And the Holy Ghost opened the scriptures to them. He fed them in their souls and spoke to them of the days, man and mediator, and blew into their souls and showed them how precious he was and instructed them in his love and mercy to them. And by that sanctifying teaching, they began to, and I say began, to love and to desire the knowledge of him. And therefore, you see, this Blessed One is to judge us. To judge us. Oh, Jesus will judge me. Jesus will judge you, my friend. A precious, precious, blessed Lord Jesus, the sinner's friend. If ye believe not that I am he, that real Blessed One, who alone can forgive your sins and prepare you for glory. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Emmanuel spoke plainly as recorded by John. And that Blessed One indeed is to judge the world in righteousness, all men. But I like this, in righteousness. In righteousness. The first sense is in absolute intrinsic holiness as Almighty God the Son set up from everlasting. A sin-hating God. Jesus, being Almighty God, hates our sinnership. He hates mine and yours. But we've got one. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, has been ordained by God and anointed by God to be that mighty God and Saviour of sinners here below. And the wonders of his redeeming love, that he became a man, a real man. Hart says very beautifully, a man. There is a real man whose wounds are gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, from hands and feet and side. This glorious man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He saved our souls from sin and hell, the price his own heart's blood. And he goes on, come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith. Oh, what thou wilt. No wonder how many of us choke upon our sinnership here today. Your thoughts, your deeds, your unregeneracy, your secret wickedness. Oh, every man has got it in him. Sadly, much of the Christian world are nice, sparkling Christians, you know. sadly, I feel our own group of churches are drifting that way. I don't like to be anything wrong. The Lord forgive me. But friends, not the polite and the polished and the men full of knowledge, plenty of activity to keep ourselves buoyant, as it were, and in some sort of hazy hope. No. Oh, those labours upon your bed at night. Oh, that guilt that stops prayer. Oh, those groans and an awful realisation. And the enemy on top of you, the destroyer, coming to destroy you and take you away. And who's destroyed us but ourselves? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But blessed God, he said, in me is thy help. Your hope is nowhere else, O secret believer, seeking, seeking soul, but in him who was dead and alive forevermore. Just the world enraged by that man. For Jesus is Almighty God, co-equal and co-eternal with his Father and with the Holy Ghost, but he is also God with us. God with us. In the fullness of time, he descended, assumed our nature without sin. The Holy Ghost preparing a body in the womb of the Virgin. And he came forth, the only man who has ever loved God, served God, oh, and ever obeyed God and delighted in God. And this he did not for himself, but for that people his Father had given him, all his people. My dear friends, the day came when, after a pathway of suffering and pure holiness, love and mercy to all about him, oh, he showed infinite compassion to sinners around him, fed the 5,000 men beside women and children, healed 10 lepers, and only one gave thanks. And he came unto his own knew him not, but God had ordained a day for him, appointed a terrible day for Christ, a blessed day for the church. Oh, and your hope, believer, springs from that solemn hour which Christ had to come to, and he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. And yet he's setting his face there, his Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Boys, Catherine and I both glorify and will glorify it again. Why, my dear friends, God is glorified in thee. Death of Emmanuel, and a solemn death. Ah, as he poured out his soul unto death. And his Father hid his face from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the horrors of being forsaken in death. Yeah, when we need him. Oh, how we want to be found in him now, and how you feel so forsaken in your soul at times. Yet for your sins and my sins, oh, my favourite sins, my love of sin, your sinnership, believer, he came to this hour when God forsake him. I do not believe there's any division in the Godhead, but the glorious holy sufferer. Oh, for your sins, he was forsaken. And bereaved of all comfort, in one sense, from that ministering, though we do read in Gethsemane, an angel appeared and ministered or strengthened him. An angel did. Oh, he created that angel. Such is the humiliation and the love. And yet he died in victory. He had to fight that fight alone, and he made a glorious conquest. Why? Because he's God, the Eternal Son. And he has defeated and bruised, Satan with an incurable bruise, and put away your sins who repent of them. I must be plain, dear friends. Do you repent of your sins? Do you long for abundance of life? To really be reconciled and forgiven? Is there a mourning and a grief? You mean the understanding by the Holy Ghost teaching? For he alone is infallible to convince us of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. He brings us to repentance and to plead him and to plead his mercy. See, by the new birth, the glorious person of Christ begins to mean something to you. Begins to mean something to you. So he says, and I have to hasten on because of that time, appointed a day in which will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Ordained to be a blessed Saviour, but ordained to be our judge. So the precious one who receives sinners this day, while he is in the court of heaven, sitting upon that throne in glory called the throne of grace, will judge the world in righteousness and say, in holiness and justice and purity and love, for God is love and love cannot sin. Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the promises prepared for thee, the kingdom prepared. Inherit them. And depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. For he will say to many that say, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done marvelous works? I never knew you. So the vital thing is, by the commandment unto life, you'll know Christ by the power of the commandment of God to your soul. Because when that word comes with divine power to your soul, it immediately commands repentance and faith. What God commands in grace, he gives out of the fullness of that ocean. What he commands under the law, you are demanded to fulfill yourself. But what he commands in his blessed gospel, my friends, for not for his sheep hear his voice and his only. So they begin to turn to him in godly sorrow and godly fear, and the kindlings of that godly love. Now, you may not feel the love in the early days, but when the Lord blesses you, something's kindled that can never be taken away. A life that will never die. A kindling of love to Christ that will never die. And why? His love to you. We love him because he first loved us. Whom the other day we have given assurance all to men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So you see, come unto all men everywhere to repent. That is that people where he sends the dew and the rain and the showers from heaven. When the heavens drop down fatness and the skies pour down righteousness. Think of the parable of this blessed man who spoke here below. He said, concerning two in the field, two in the bed upon the housetop, grinding the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. But you see, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. So he prayed for them. He prayed for them. Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. They may behold my glory. How will you know whether you're given to Christ? By the sweet power of the truth in your heart, in bringing you as a broken man to the feet of the great God in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. And you know, dear friends, you see, he says here, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Assurance of mercy and forgiveness. And why? Because he's raised him from the dead, which sets forth all is completed. He died at Calvary. It is finished. An everlasting rite was brought in. He was laid in the tomb. He rose the third day for our justification and has set very clearly in his word and by his resurrection that this church is completely reconciled to him. By the shedding of his blood, justice was done. Atonement was made. He agonized and received fiery vengeance into his soul for our sins, our sins. When your conscience is awakened and lively and solemnly lively in the sense of guilt, you know you can't face the judgment. You can't face God. But the Holy Ghost sweetly directs and sweetly draws and sweetly whispers and sweetly instructs to look to Christ alone, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. God knows who has looked to him and who does look to him among this people. He knows whether I have to plead him. He knows whether you have to plead him. And you have to pray if you're a child of God. You have to pray. Why? You must be reconciled. You must be found in him. You must shelter. You must be forgiven. Your sins must be subdued. Your sins must be taken away. You must be prepared for that dying day. You must have his help now. You must have him to be with you. These exercises of that people. Well, he says, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. He's given assurance that you receive no righteousness from you, but you'll find it in Christ. You receive no sacrifices from you, no oblations, no offerings, no mere good works, no improvements from you, whatever you might be blessed, but speaks to you of one who lived for you. Lived for you. And one, my dear friends, who indeed has died for you and risen for you. Now, a word comes to mind, if I can just find it. I think it is in Romans here somewhere. I hope I can find it. Oh yes, here we are. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death, by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. And he lives. Yes, his life as that glorious Saviour in weaving your righteousness and magnifying the law for you and making it honourable and establishing righteousness by himself on behalf of this ruined people. But he lives now. And you'll know that reconciliation, being reconciled by his life as you plead his death and draw near and so plead Christ. So you have to plead the life and the death of Emmanuel, that he's risen from the dead and entered into glory and lives, ordained, anointed and appointed of God to be a merciful and a faithful high priest. Oh, naked sinner, there's one that stands between in garments dyed in blood. 'Tis he that is seen when you approach to God. Oh, may we ever draw near to that blessed one in the court of heaven. So he says, you see, that here that wherefore hath given assurance. He gave assurance when he lived here. He said this, didn't he? And every word of God is pure. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Oh, there's no heaviness like the heaviness of guilty conscience and, oh, a record of black sins. What a labouring. What a labouring often the Lord's people know in bondage and guilt and misery. My dear friends, he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's given assurance, you see, because he's risen from the dead. That must be fulfilled. These poor comers, these believing comers. A man never comes until he believes, you know, by the Holy Ghost. He can't. He might come like the rich man, of course. Yes, what shall I do to be justified? Look, I do this, I do that. What more can I do, Master? But he went away very unhappy, didn't he? Disappointed, you see. He went away grieved, poor man. He didn't want to give up the world. But I believe by that power, the power of the cross of Christ, you are made willing. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power, we read in the psalm. And that's the power of the resurrection, you see. You begin to see all things gathered up in a precious Christ and you confess your sins. I don't know how it is with you, I have to confess my sins. To me it seems like a wasted life. You say, well, surely not. You preach and all the rest of it. Yes, I know. But I know something of my small service and my mean thoughts of Almighty God. But I believe I can say this, we have to preach it. His blood and his righteousness covers me forever. Oh, the Lord, pardon anything I've said wrong, but I believe I can say I have a clean conscience before God in that most solemn matter. And I daren't preach otherwise through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I need him still, and so do you, believers. Some of you have tasted the Lord is gracious. You know what it is to feel the burden removed, your sins forgiven, reconciled to God. You worshipped at his blessed feet. Oh, but what are you? A poor, struggling sinner. He's given assurance to these struggling sinners. He's raised him from the dead. Sin cannot hold them. The devil cannot have dominion over them. They're pardoned. Why? An everlasting right has been brought in for this people by his resurrection. He's given assurance that a way has been made, a way of for transgressors, a way for the poor, needy sinner here. And so the apostle, as he wrote to the Corinthians, declares very plainly, if we must appear, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which hath done, whether it be good or bad. What will you receive, my friend? What will I receive? There's a word in Galatians, the apostle wrote, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that reapeth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And every one of us are guilty before God of sowing to the flesh. But what a mercy, you who are sowing to the Spirit. He's given assurance to all men who sow to the Spirit. Why, he's risen from the dead and made a way into the holiest of all through the rent veil. Why, a way which poor sinners may venture while they live here. A bleeding Christ is all they plead and all that guilty sinners need. So he goes on, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That is, in his holy preaching by the Holy Ghost. Now, ministers, they haven't got the same spiritual gift or endowment as the apostles had, but it's the same ministry of reconciliation. It's the same Holy Ghost, but not in the same measure or perhaps in the same particular gift that I realize. Certainly a man like me could not be an apostle. Impossible. But the Lord make me a true ambassador and a true minister of the Spirit by his own divine anointing, which I have no power in. I have no power of my own. I can only preach those things he gives me to preach and say those things he gives me to say, and I need much help and grace and humility and repentance myself as I speak these things to others, my fellow sinners, on the way to a never-ending eternity, every one of us. And therefore the terror of the Lord we persuade men. There is a terror. What a terror. When it's you're gathered and, oh, now you know who he is. And it's for the first time in your life you really get a solemn realization of who Christ is. The first time in your life. But what a mercy. Oh, as the apostle goes on, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You who are led of the Holy Ghost, you know, led by the Spirit of God, you will immediately recognize a living ministry, a ministry of the Spirit, because the truth will be made manifest in your conscience. This is the truth. Oh, how I need God's mercy. How I need him. I need these things that are declared. And it becomes a living word, and your soul begins to feed upon him who lives for you, who lives for you, who repent of your sins, who confess your sins. Surely I've preached from this before in this chapel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Or be not afraid to come. Or the poet says very beautifully, why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. Why this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them? Or the filthy woman from the city came in and wept at his feet. And Simon the Pharisee looked down his nose at her. Oh, and at Christ especially. Oh, if this man was really a problem. You know who this woman was. Well, she's a sinner. Fancy this man, they say, is a prophet. Fancy receiving a sinner like her. Blessed be God. He's risen. He's ascended. And then with his own blood and that precious blood speaks in the courts of heaven. And my friend, oh, this ministry of reconciliation, God requires nothing at your hand to show you mercy. But his everlasting love draws you to his feet. His tender mercies, the tender mercies of the Most High, brings poor sinners down as penitents and to plead him. Oh, there's a name above every name. And so the apostle, so the prophet declared, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Oh, may we have faith in his name to call upon his name for mercy, the angel of his presence, the fullness of his grace, him to dwell in our hearts, be formed in our hearts, the hope of glory, save us from our sins and ourselves, and order our way, and bring us safely through our lives, and safely home to God. Only the Lord can guide your steps into the way of peace. And the Lord can bless you in your soul and console you in your heart. And he's a willing and an able Saviour, as the poet says, power and love in Christ combine, an able, willing Saviour too. Is he a sun on thee, he'll shine. Is he thy God, he'll bring thee through. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also I'm made manifest in your consciences. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The true Holy Ghost anointed ministers have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Now I know there are pastors and evangelists and teachers, and of course apostles, which of that office and gift has passed away. But it's the substance is him who lives. For us poor, miserable, weak, troubled, tempted, failing, dying sinners. One who lives and waits to be gracious. Oh, you're singing that beautiful hymn of John Kent just now. Father, I wanted to sing it, but I had to pray. Oh, that sacred throne of God, which that river rises. Why? Bringing peace and pardoning blood, descending from the skies, right down to poor sinners. Oh, my dear friends, how we sang, didn't we? In that hymn, of that blessed fullness, I can't quite get the couplet as it runs, but 914 here. Angelic minds cannot explore this deep, unfathomed sea. 'Tis void of bottom, brim, or shore, and lost in deity. This is God's love and God's grace. Oh, the love and the grace of our most holy Father, who can't deal directly with you, for you're a sinner, and you must be consumed. Luther said he wanted nothing to do with naked divinity, but he's given his dear Son, his beloved Son, with raised to his right hand, the King of glory, the King of grace. And it's by his merit, his love and his mercy, so grace has touched your heart. And it's that river of water of life. And it comes from an ocean fullness, an ocean, a sea, which is void of bottom, brim or shore. I stood amazed and wondered why this ocean rose, that wafts salvation down to his men, his traitors and his foes. Have you trembled? Oh, have you trembled? Ever had to plead the Lord to not let you be a traitor at last? If you feel you haven't served him, I want to be very careful in my terminology. You heard me say here before, I feel my base ingratitude. Oh, my sins and backslidings is akin or liking unto biting the blessed hand that feeds me. Oh, perhaps you don't understand. And I'd even go further, it's personal and private. I've had to say, Lord, my sins are like those wicked men that spat in thy lovely face, but I wouldn't spit in thy face, Lord. We wouldn't do it willfully and deliberately. But, oh, my friends, I know my bitterness, and you know yours if you're a dear child of God. You can't cast a stone at another man. Why, my friends, two thieves railed on Christ. They both railed on him. What a wicked thing to do. The Blessed One, the King of Glory, the Eternal Son of God, appearing in our nature. What a mystery, the mystery of this godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Hanging there at Calvary, the weight of the sins of the people upon him, his Father hiding his face from him, and two ungodly, profligate, violent men railing upon him. And one suddenly realized where he is and who this Blessed One is. And what can he do? He can only do one thing, beg, pray. He condemned himself and his friend, owned it true, and ask if the Lord would remember him. Now this is grace. This is the love of God. This is the love of God, your heavenly Father. Manifest in the gift of his dear Son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, poor vile you in the chapel, poor little hidden sinner like you, so small in grace, so large in sin, feeling so to come so short, so unexercised at times, wondering where the scene will end. Ah, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That sacred flood from Jesus' veins was free to take away. And Mary's or Manasseh's sins and sins more vile than the sins against the Lord's people. Don't say you've not sinned against the Lord's people, because you have. And your poor minister has to make many confessions. Sometimes an angry spirit, a hasty word, sometimes rebellions. When I was young, to criticise many of the Lord's dear servants. Solemn, isn't it? Oh, how we need that precious blood. Perhaps you hear a ministry that doesn't suit you. Now, I hope it'll be a living ministry, but first consider, is this according to the scripture? What frame of mind am I in? Maybe you don't like the text I have today because it may not soothe you. Perhaps you prefer texts of sweet platitudes. But friends, that won't prepare you for glory. Well, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've not just sinned against the Lord's people, have we? We've sinned against him. But Gatsby says, not all the wrongs of her heart. That's the bride's heart. Not all her idolatries and fornications and whoremongerings after other gods and the things of this world. Not all the thoughts she entertains in her heart. Not all the wrongs of her heart can make his love from her depart. Did Jesus once upon thee shine? Then Jesus forever thine. Ah, friend, those hymn writers, you know, they wrote in poetry that was precious to them from the holy word of God. For you see, none of the ransom can ever be lost. Yes, and none can pluck them out of my hand or my father. Peter couldn't be plucked. Solomon couldn't be plucked. David couldn't be plucked. Jacob couldn't be plucked. Oh, the mercy of God, but I have to think about closing. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that is to know, to experience, to possess. To know it by faith, you see, to wit. Not in the natural understanding only, though I know the understanding is informed. It's the Lord dwelling within your breast. Bring you to abhor yourself like he did Job. And to bring you to his dear feet and, oh, to plead with him. To wit, let us know that God was in Christ. We should have more time for the doctrine here, but I've got another word on my mind for this evening. To wit, let us know that Christ was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, the knocking sinner, the seeking soul is reconciled to God. The secret is in the last verse, isn't it? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he, this is what I wanted to come to, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. What a tremendous truth that is. God imputes the righteousness of his dear son to the coming sinner, the poor believer, that poor man that asks the way to Zion, with his face to the wall. They may have got a black record, and he still suffers from indwelling sin, but he pleads Christ. He asks for all the help and the strength and the grace of the Lord Jesus to be upon him. He needs the Lord to be with him, to keep him, to save him, right unto the very end. That we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Will it not be a miracle, sinner, if you shine in that tremendous day, clothed in that glorious garment? I believe, friends, you'll cast your crown at his feet, for you'll be arrayed in white raiment, and be able to see him face to face, and love him with an unsinning heart. I say, will it not be a miracle, friend? And if you're struggling today, struggling during the week, doing business in deep waters, did have a word on my mind, did wonder about it for this morning, but it didn't stay, and this came to the fore during the night watches. Deep. Calleth unto deep at thine water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet, says the psalmist, that beautiful Psalm 42, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and unto the my prayer unto the God of my life. Oh, have you got a God of your life, the life of your soul? All you can do is to look to the Lord Jesus on the mercy seat. Come in all your poverty, weakness and rags, and plead him. Ah, so he says, blessed doctrine to this poor people that need God, need his mercy, need his grace, need him to be with them, need his guiding hand, need his loving heart to care for them and pardon them again and again in his one great forgiveness. There are many forgivenesses in that great forgiveness, aren't there? Oh, there's that catalogue to us of innumerable sins, though not innumerable to God, that have been pardoned in that one glorious sacrifice in the night that Jesus died for the ungodly. So look at this closing verse, and we'll have to close. For we've made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, my friends, we must see the Lord Jesus one day. There's no hiding from Christ, sinner. And believer, you don't want to hide from him, do you? You long to hide in him. Can you honestly say that from your very heart? Lord, I don't want to hide from thee. I'm often afraid of thee, Lord. I know where I get to, Lord. I'm so wicked, but please receive me. Please receive me again, Lord. Oh, please draw near once again. Oh, let me come and touch thee once more. I want to hide in thee. Because you know that in hiding in him, you're him forever. You're in him forever. Once in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. And won't it be a miracle for poor sinners like you and me to really see that King of glory in peace, in rapture, sweet surprise, and seeing his loving kindness in the skies. The Lord command that repentance unto life to you and to me, and command that precious faith from above to believe in him. This is the work of God. Ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do bless that which has been of the Holy Ghost here this morning. May something remain to be a help to us each, and pardon all that has been spoken wrong in thy sight. We pray thy kingdom come, so have mercy upon us. Grant yearning mercies now, and take us under thy shadow. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £665, for which we are very thankful. And the collections today are for the Philippines, for Samaritan's Purse. God willing, Mr. Rosier will address the Sunday School this afternoon. And Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And next Lord's Day, God willing, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 464. Oh, for an overcoming faith to cheer my dying hours, to triumph o'er the monster death and all his frightful powers. Hymn 464.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.